our nativity is just bring everything together. So it's an important thing there. I think you might have heard the word like infant or child there rather than baby. So Jesus was slightly grown when the wise men appeared. Could we have slide one? Sorry, Elizabeth. Thank you. So the wisdom of seeking Jesus. So we have in the Western world, we have many people that are currently seeking Jesus, perhaps in a new way, that have been unknown for the last generation or two at least. So why is it that people should seek Jesus? After Jesus was born, wise men came to look for him. And they probably, as we've learned, came from an area which is over to the east. So next one, please, Elizabeth. Thank you. So I don't know if you can see that map. This map reckons that they came from sort of near Babylon, did a great big loop round to get to Jerusalem, and then obviously Joseph, Mary and Jesus escaped straight after that to go to Egypt. So it's a huge long route, would have taken them a mighty long time to have got there. They reckon like 18 months probably, at least that journey would have taken. So we often think of them as the three kings, but the Bible doesn't say how many there were or that they were kings at all. Three is just a guess because they brought with them three gifts, but however many there were of them, they probably have had lots of servants, so it's a whole retinue, probably some sort of bodyguards as well to make sure that they got there safely. But they were certainly men of great learning. The word magi comes from the Greek word magos. So it's very similar to magic. The English word magic comes from that Greek root. And magos itself comes from the old Persian word magopati. And this was the title given to priests in a sect of the ancient Persian religion, such as Zoroastrianism. So if you go to India today, you will find believers in that religion even today. But today we would have called these guys astrologers. They looked to find meaning from the stars. Astronomy and astrology in those days were just part of the same overall branch, the same science, and they went hand in hand with each other. And the Magi would have followed the pattern of stars religiously, trying to find out a meaning. And so these guys were very rich. They were held in high esteem in their own society. And people that saw them when they travelled would have treated them with great respect as well. And they had seen an unusual star in the sky and knew that it told of the birth of a special king. So it's interesting, isn't it, that we see the cosmic Christ, you know, Colossians 2, which talks about, Colossians 1, 15 to 20, talks about the cosmic nature of Christ. And we saw that in Jesus' death, where the kind of there's an earthquake and lots of apparitions in the sky and everything. So these men were well aware that there were effects cosmically to the arrival of a special king. Now, no one really knows what the new star was like. The general theory is that it may have been Halley's Comet, because Halley's Comet can be worked backwards from today. I think it was 15 years ago, the last Halley's Comet, and it will come again in 2070 or something. So it comes round religiously at a certain point, and so that can be traced back. So it could well have been Halley's Comet, which, as we found 15, 20 years ago, it hangs around for quite a while. You could see it in the sky for some time. It could have been a supernova. It could have been a conjunction of planets or something similar. So Herod asked the wise men to find Jesus and tell him where he was, so that supposedly he could go and worship him, as he said. But really, he wanted to kill him. He wanted to destroy him. Herod was increasingly paranoid as time went on. If you read the tales of Herod, they were absolutely obscene in what he did. And there were lots of Herods around. That's the confusing part. But this particular Herod was becoming increasingly paranoid and insane. So that Jesus even though he was only going to be a baby, sounded like a new king, that he could come and eventually take his power away. I mean, you're looking at 20 years in the future, aren't you? So we can see from this passage that Joseph had settled the family in that city. The wise men arrived at the house. They were no longer in a stable, obviously. They were in a house. They saw the child with Mary, we're told. And it was the appearance of the wise men that was to cause the family of Jesus to flee to Egypt. Herod wouldn't have heard of the infant king without the wise men's inquiries. Next slide, please. So we're looking at the journey of faith. So we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all on a pilgrimage through life, and ours as Christians is a journey that involves God. You know, we say that Jesus is just in front of us, and we journey hopefully behind him and seek to follow where he's going. So firstly, this wise men's journey was a journey of faith. There must have been those in the country who thought, wow, that's a mighty long journey to try to track this star down. What are you doing? No understanding of when they'd be back. This journey was going to take them a couple of years, 3 years maybe, altogether, there and back. But they must have said the same things to Abraham when he left his home for the promised land. They must have said the same thing to Noah when he started building an ark. Never rained, according to the Bible, in the history of the earth up to that point. There was dew came up from the ground. They must have said the same thing to Peter, Andrew, John, and James when they left the fishing nets to become fishers of men. What? Are you crazy? No, not crazy, not insane, not out of their minds, but men of faith. When we hear people like Simon Gillibull, who was here a few weeks ago, and you think, well, why did that guy go to that war-torn place of Burundi? Why would you do that? And yet God leads us into some very strange situations. So God's journeys always involve faith. We have to believe. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. The author of the letter to the Hebrews wrote, anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists, fair enough, isn't it? And that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. We believe in a God that loves us, that cares for us, that gives us meaning, that created this world for purpose. It wasn't like a kind of watchmaker God that winds up the world and disappears and leaves it to its own devices. So people of faith have been willing to respond to the challenges of the unknown over and over again down through history. So next slide, please. So their journey was of faith, worship, sacrifice, and change. Can we have the next slide, please, and maybe go back to that one? So William Carey, he is the known as the father of modern missions. He spent his lifetime in India and died there. India is greatly revered as settling and founding various colleges and churches and everything. And he was a shoemaker, so a very average job. One day he heard that millions of people in India had not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And he believed the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he believed that that verse was speaking directly to him. And so he volunteered to go to India. But when he volunteered, he was told, well, young man, sit down. When God wants to convert the heathen, he will do it without your help. Carey went anyway, supporting himself. And for 7 years in India, he worked without seeing a single convert. But by the end of his life, he saw hundreds of churches, thousands of converts. He was a man of faith. He obeyed the dictum to go follow me. Next slide, please. This was one of his great sayings. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And the two marry up completely, don't they? We can't expect great things from God unless we're attempting great things for God. If you think of the great people of great Christians of near history, they were expecting great things from God, but they also were attempting to do great things for God. people like Wilberforce, Elizabeth Fry, many others as well. Muller were doing this. So can we go back two slides, please, Elizabeth? Sorry. Thank you. So their journey was one of faith, and their journey was one of worship. Remember, when the wise men set out on their journey, they took with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they do that? Why did they set out with these extra treasures? Well, these gifts had a lot of symbolism associated with them. Gold represents wealth. It's a gift fit for a king. Jesus was the King of Kings. Frankincense is the sap of a tree that was dried and hardened and used as incense to worship God. So we see a gift for his deity. They recognize Jesus was the Son of God through their act of worship. Myrrh is a fragrant perfume that was used to anoint the dead, to embalm and preserve them. Remember when Mary anointed Jesus, she anointed him with myrrh to prepare him for his death. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. So there was immense prophetic power in what these wise men were doing right at the very early days of Jesus. But there is more to worship than gold, frankincense, or myrrh. And worship also involves sacrifice. Journeying involves sacrifice. They had given themselves to a journey. Travel in those days was not very comfortable. In fact, it could be downright dangerous. The wise men had sacrificed their own comfort to find the king and worship him. David says about sacrifice in the book of Samuel, "I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." The book of Romans in the New Testament says it this way, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So what can we give to God? We give our very selves. The greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice you can give to God is yourself. We may say we have nothing to give God, but I say, yes, you have. Even today, by coming here, you have given him something of yourself. You have given time and money and energy and the reminder that it is Sunday, so you need to be here. And that's great. So fourthly, a wise man's journey is one of change. Verse 12 of what Elizabeth read us. They were warned, these wise men were warned in a dream, not to go back to Herod to inform him of Jesus' whereabouts. So interesting that we're told that they didn't go back the same way as they came. They had to go a different route back from the way they had come. I find that to be a fact even today. Once you have met God, you will never be the same. An encounter with God changes things. It changes you. It's always been that way. Go back to the Old Testament. One of my more favourite anti-heroes in the Old Testament is Jacob. And we learned recently that Jacob wrestled with God, but he never walked the same the rest of his life. He had to walk on a damaged hip for the rest of his life. He walked with a limp. We read in one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Hebrews 11, the chapter about faith. "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons," that's his grandchildren, "and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff." Isaiah went into the presence of God in Isaiah 6 and proclaimed, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He was never the same again. Job. Read Job. I said that a couple of years ago to a congregation, and an elderly lady in her 80s, brand new Christian, went and read the whole chapter, the whole book that afternoon, and said, "Yep, so what do I read next?" So read Job. It takes you about an hour to read straight through Job. Job questions God over and over again, and you can understand if you read the book just why he does. He suffered appallingly. And God eventually shows up, and Job says, "I'm speechless, in awe. Words fail me. I should never have opened my mouth. I've talked too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen. Maybe that's a good adage, definitely for me, if not for others of us, to be prepared to listen to God rather than talking to him or at him. Job met God and became a changed person. So this is what happens when we walk into the presence of God. We become changed. This is what happened to the wise men when they encountered Christ. They were changed. This is what happens when we encounter Jesus. Things become different. Next slide. So that's about three on. Thank you. Worship helps us find who we are and why God has placed us here on the earth. When we bow in God's presence with worship, only then are we made complete. The wise men were called wise, and we still see them as wise, because they had faith. They were wise because they worshipped, and they were changed forever, all because of a child. How about you? Are you looking for a change in your life? If you find Christ this Christmas, I can guarantee that things will be different, things will change. Step out in faith and seek him as the wise men did. 2026, amazingly, is just round the corner. Will it be another year much the same as before? Are you honestly prepared to listen to God and go wherever he leads? It may not mean travelling to Burundi. It may not mean travelling the same journey as the wise men. It may not mean travelling hundreds of miles. It may not mean that you become the modern equivalent of William Carey. But it will mean change, because God loves you too much to allow you to remain the same. Next slide, please. So just a reminder as we finish, the glory of God always comes at the sacrifice of self. Remember, Jesus showed his love, his greatest love for his disciples, by becoming a servant, by washing their feet. And it's the same with us. If we're prepared to give our very selves to God, then we receive the full experience of the glory of God. It's only as ourselves get less, as John the Baptist said, myself gets less, he gets greater, echoed by the Apostle Paul. So remember, as we go into this new year, that we are to become less. God is to become more and more significant, more and more central in our lives. Amen. We're going to stand and sing now, Praise My Soul, the King.